Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. This is a shiur on Parshas Tzav. The title is Recovery from Ashes, or From Ashes to Recovery. For some reason today, the logins didn't work, so if any of you tried to call in, I apologize, but we're recording this year anyhow. So, in this week's Parsha, we hear about a process called Trumas HaDeshen. Now, Trumas HaDeshen involved taking some, there was two types of Trumas HaDeshen, but the Trumas HaDeshen involved taking ashes from the fire of the Mizbeach and putting it in a spot on the side of the Mizbeach where it would be absorbed by the ground and disappear. And there also was other processes too, but the point is that this process of taking ashes off of the Mizbeach and it would be placed on the ground and it would be absorbed. Now, the question that Ramban asks, if you look at the pasuk says, "V'lovash ha'kohen mi dovad lechos evad yilvash al basaro." Basically, it describes the Kohen wearing the big day kahuna, but when it describes the big day kahuna, it really mentions only two of the four. It mentions the ketonis, the shirt, and it also mentions the mechnasayim, the pants. But really, the Kohen has to wear all four of the gadim. Kohen that did mechus the gadim, that did the avodah without all four of the gadim, the avodah is possible, so the Gemara is welcome. So Ramban points out that even though it says only two, it really means all of them. The question is, why were only two mentioned, and what is the significance of the two? So the Klei Yakar tries to answer this by saying that the Korban Ola in general, and this was talking about the Ola stomach here, the Korban Ola in general, the function of the Ola was to be Mechata al Hirhure Halev, to bring forgiveness for thoughts, for improper thoughts. And basically he spells out that the two bagadim, the shirt and the pants, each one represented in some way this function because he says that we know the Gemara in Erechin on Tes Vav says that the pants, the big kahuna, the priestly garments that were the pants, were in and of themselves a kapara for arayus, because it cloaks that part of the body. So it's a pretty obvious symbolism there. And the ksonis, the shirt, is actually a kapara for shvichas damim, because it represents the bayitvo as a ksonis badam. That was Yosef's shirt that the brothers dipped in the blood of the goat in order to cover up their crime. And so the ksonis is reminiscent of that. And the Klei Yakar goes on to say that in terminology of Chazal, arayus, sexual misdeeds, is a kind of rechicha, it's a kind of murder, because it's destructive force and its redirection of the procreative function is really anti-life. And, there's tzukim in the course of Chazal, just one of them is Yeshaya talks about Shochte Yelodim, and Chazal say, don't read the Shochte Yelodim, read it Shochte Yelodim, which basically implies the improper direction of the procreative purpose. And the bottom line is, so according to the Trumas HaDeshen, the way that we understand this is, according to the Klei Yakar, the Trumas HaDeshen was a function of Kapara. It was Kapara for, specifically for Arayus. And this is why those two begadim are highlighted of the big dekuna, even though, of course, you have to wear all four. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean that the begadim, and this kapara created a process where the ground absorbs the ashes? What's going on over here? What's the symbolism of the ashes? So I was thinking about it, and I was reflecting that, ashes represent a kind of hitting bottom, because a person humbles himself to the point of feeling like ashes, they've hit a certain bottom. And when somebody hits a bottom, right? That's when they begin their recovery, when they have all their rationalizations and all their realizations and every excuses are stripped away and they realize the essential truth. This is when they hit their bottom and then the real work on themselves begins. And this is what the Koyoka says. He said, "I dare see his arsenal to offer offense apparently, makes himself like dirt. Then he's finally forgiven." Now, it's interesting because there's actually two different lashonos. There's offer and there's afer, right? Now, offer with an ayin in Hebrew is dirt. And aether, right, is ashes. So they both are very primal substances, and they represent humility, but they represent two kinds of humility. When Avraham was bargaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of the people of Sodom, he said, "Anochi ofer aether." He says, "I'm dirt and I'm ashes." These are two different kinds of humility, two different kinds of low material. Now, what do they represent? So if you think about it, right, offer is dirt, and from dirt things grow. So offer is the lowest form of matter, but it's the lowest form of matter that's on the way to production. It's on the way to creation. Aether, on the other hand, ashes, that's a different story. Ashes are the end product of a destruction, right? It's the end product of a destructive force. So that when something's burnt up, all you have left is the ashes. So in a certain way, you might understand that offer is hitting bottom and aether is hitting bottom. One is the hitting bottom of realizing that everything is lost and nothing works. And the other hitting bottom is an offer hitting bottom with an ayin, which is realizing that there's a simplicity here, that there's a need to grow, and that there's a lot of humility, but we can go from the ground up. Now, if you want to have a little fun with gematria, you'll notice that the difference between offer and aether is 69, because ayin is 70, the ayin in offer is 70, and the aleph in aether is 1, so the difference is 69. Now, according to the Torah, right, 70 years is an average lifetime, like it says in, Kapitel Tehillim Tzadei, right? Shmonim Shivim Shana V'Nigvur Shmonim Shana, right? The person's life is 70, a very strong and healthy person, 80, but 70 years. So basically the difference between offer and aether is you start out as offer because you've got all those 69 years to work on development and growth, and you can end up as aether with nothing left. But how do you hit bottom, right? What is hitting bottom? Does hitting bottom have to mean something so terrible as being reduced to nothing? No, because the act of the Truma Sedeshan has the aether go back into the offer, which means that there can be a rebirth after becoming aether, after becoming ashes. There's a possibility, if properly absorbed, it starts again as offer, that there can be a rebirth. And this is reflected later on in the parsha as well, when the parsha talks about what to do with the kalim that the korbanos were made in. See, you can't have noser, the materials in the korban cannot be left over past its expiration date. Each korban has a different expiration date, one day, 2 days, whatever, but the point is, it can't be left over. So, the Torah says in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, ukli cheres asher tevushal bo yishaver, a earthenware keli that the korban chatas was cooked in, yishaver should be broken. Then clean the choshes, bushdala, was cooked in a copper vessel, lorak v'shutav b'mayim. So then it should be cleaned out and flooded with water. And Chazal understand it to be hagala, boiling hot water. You clean it out, and you're able to take the substance out. Now, pashpshat is because the clay cheres absorbs, the earthenware absorbs, and so you can't get rid of it without without destroying it. On the other hand, the copper vessel metal can absorb, but also you could, through a process of hagalah, through a process of purging with boiling water, you could extract it. The clay yakaret, though, he comments something interesting. He says that this is symbolic, that the different vessels, earthenware vessel versus a copper vessel, since it's disgusting, this whole idea in regard to the korban chatas, this pasuk here is talking about korban chatas, even though it applies to all korbanas. He says the symbolism is about chet itself. And he says some people, the sin gets deeply absorbed into them to the point where they can't get rid of it without destruction. And others, the sin comes into them, but they're able to purge it. Right? So he says that it really depends on the person. And what's being suggested here is that there are different kinds of bottoms. What's being suggested here is that you could come to a realization on your own and not have to go through all the suffering of destruction, like the earthenware vessel that has to be destroyed. But you can be like the copper vessel, that there'd be a way to purge and recover from the sin through some process without having to destroy the vessel. And that's the kind of hitting bottom that we all far prefer. We'd rather hit bottom and come to realization and be able in some way to repair ourselves before a total destruction that happens. Now one way or the other, no matter what we are, whether we end up being able to hit a bottom sooner or hit a bottom later, still ultimately through the process, even if you become aether, it says in the Truma Sedeshan that the offer, that the ground absorbs the aether and there still is a rebirth. But it's a lot less painful if we can do it without being destroyed. And there's all kinds of hitting bottoms, and I think that's an important part to realize. The hitting bottom means realizing that you really have no choice and have no way out, and there's no excuses, and there's nothing you can do other than accept what's going on and begin to start making good choices. And hitting bottom could be something terribly tragic and dramatic, like the loss of a relationship, or getting fired, or some other thing, that terrible destructive thing that happens as a result of crazy addictive behavior, or it could be something very small. Hitting bottom is just coming to that realization, but truly coming to that realization. I will share, for people that are interested, a story from my own life of a kind of hitting bottom. On the one hand, it was small, and on the one hand, it was big. When I was first married, I was a rather perfectionistic, rigid kind of guy. And I remember going on a road trip with my wife, and she took over the driving, and I took a nap. And when I woke up, we discovered she made a wrong turn, and we were, an hour out of our way. So you understand, if you're an hour out of the way, that means you're like 2 hours out of the way, because you got to double back the hour that you went the wrong way. And remember, we stopped at a gas station. I went in, asked directions. I realized what was going on, that we were totally an hour out of the way. This kind of thing I found personally to be very frustrating. And, all of a sudden, like, my life flashed in front of my eyes, and I realized that for the next who knows how many years, God willing, a lot of them, I'm going to be dealing with stuff like this all the time, because not everybody is so perfect at what they do. And I won't be able to control everything that happens. So I'm saying to myself, I'm going to be looking at this for the next, I don't know how many years. And I could, on the one hand, get really frustrated and angry, or I could just say, well, that's life. And I made up my mind. I made up my mind that I'm just going to laugh about it. And I remember, I know my wife liked chocolates. At the gas station, there was chocolates. And I bought some chocolates. And I came back into the car, and she said, what's going on? And I said, well, you're in big trouble, because we went an hour out of the way, and I was kibitzing with her. And she, got all nervous. Oh, my gosh. And I said, yeah, I'm so angry at you. I bought you a chocolate, and I gave it to her. And it was the best thing I ever did. And it changed my whole life because, you know, early on I just realized that either I'm going to end up getting frustrated about things or I'm just going to enjoy and have fun with things. And that was a very big change for me. But that was my bottom. Because even though I didn't have to hit bottom, I didn't have to pass a cell and go through, at that time, you know, difficult cell and bias issues or anything horrible, but in my head, I already saw the bottom. I saw where it was going. I saw I wasn't getting anywhere and that my whole life would end up like that unless I found a different way. And that's hitting bottom, right? So if you're lucky, at that part of my life for that particular decision, or if somebody was lucky, other times not so much, but if you're lucky, you could realize your bottom. And when you hit the bottom and you take the bottom in, you're in a different place. It's interesting, right? There's a pasuk, we say it every day actually, in one of the Mizmorim, I think it's Mizmor Lamed, but it's Mizmor Shir Chanukah Ma'aseh David. David HaMelech says, Hayoducha Ofar Hayagir Amitecha, will dirt praise you? Right. Now, here's the thing. Again, the distinction we spoke about between Ofer and Ether, right? Both are low, both are primal substances, but Ofer represents the growth potential. Ether is the action already. Ether is after the deal, and something's been destroyed and burned up. That's the leftover primal substance. But here, David HaMelech is making an interesting comment. He's saying, Ofer can't praise you. Dirt can't praise you because dirt is just potential. It hasn't done anything. Right? But Aether, let us read in Aether, a person has lived a life, even if they've had many failures, but they realize that they're Aether, and now they're willing to come back, and just like the Truma Sedition, they'll be reabsorbed into the offer, and they'll start again. They can accomplish something. Like the Gemara in Brachos from the Aflam Adal of his days says, right, Mokom Shabbali Tshuva Omdin Tzadikin Gemorim Enim Omdin. Right, that where the Balei Tshuva, if they do it properly, they're in a different place in the tzaddikim. And Rish Lakish and Yumran Tevavu and Vez explains, right, if you do tshuva me'ava, if you do tshuva out of love, then even the Averis become mitzvahs. What does that mean? The Averis become mitzvahs? This kind of like some kind of game? You picked up an extra few points or something? It means that if the tshuva is real, fundamentally, the perspective of the person has changed so much that even the others they did, whatever they were, somehow or another, became a building block in this process of what they're becoming. And that building block ultimately is a schus because it's leading the person in the correct direction. So this is the bottom that we are looking forward to trying to attain. Much, much better to hit bottom to realization, to be like the copper vessel that the Kli Yoker talks about that can be purged, and specifically Ferris, the earthenware vessel that has to be shattered. We want to reach that bottom through our own realization before we hit physical bottom. But regardless, whatever bottom we hit, when we hit the bottom, if we have the heart and the head to realize that we've hit bottom, and not to be willful, not to be stubborn, there is the chance to rebirth, be integrated into the offer, and regrow. With that, I wish people a good Shabbos. I'm going to shut off the recording in a minute, and then we can talk for a minute or two if anybody wants to.